switch.
Where are they going?
Goodbye.
And what's coming back?
I'd package up all seven Ruckman and ship them off.
Tradies, it's time to cut the cord with the new 18-volt bi-turbo brushless range from Bosch. And up to 2,000 watts of corded equivalent power. This is Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker Podcast. With Daisy Thomas and Fox Sports News' Sarah Olley.
Yes, this is Triple M's Footy Trade Tracker Podcast. Thanks to Bosch Power and Tools with Dale Thomas and Sarah Olley. Hello to you, Daisy. Sing a hallelujah. We do have trades. And sing a happy birthday to Adam Chera, who on his 22nd birthday, Daisy, he gets his wish. He has landed at the Blues.
Well, says we asked for some action the other day, and boy, oh boy, have we got it today. And the Blues, as you said, they got their man in Chera. Fantastic get. They've given up pick six to get him, but Chera, a fantastic player. We know how good he is in and around the stoppage. He uses the ball really well. But when you look at that dynamic now of the Blues midfield, it's going to be fantastic to see what they can do with it. Obviously, Cripps has been the man carrying the load for a long while. Sammy Walsh, since he's come in, has almost gone past Paddy Cripps in terms of number one. So there's a handy little trio there. Chucky Ned Curnow, Paddy Dow, who's come along, Matty Kennedy, and then Hewitt, who's come across. There is some serious depth there. We've seen the Western Bulldogs using that to great advantage throughout the past couple of years as well. So fantastic get for the Blues. Interesting, when I did go through Chera's stats, he's not a huge accumulator of the ball.
Yeah,
you think
okay.
of how crisp and how good he is, but only averaged the 23 disposals this year and only averages just a tick over 17 for his career. So does good things with it, but doesn't get a stack of it.
So pick five in the 2017 draft. He's played 76 games for the Dockers. And in exchange, Fremantle will get pick six and a future third rounder. We knew that pick six was up for grabs and that they were going to get it. It was just what the steak knives would be, and it's a future third round pick. But as you say, when he lines up along the likes of Walsh and Cripps and even George Hewitt coming into that side, Daisy, all of a sudden the Blues are looking like they've got a midfield that could really challenge with some of the top teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And the great thing about depth is there then becomes the pressure to perform. There's selection pressure on the back of that. And as a football club that needs to take those next steps to get better, that's how you do that. That's how you get better as a side. That's where the growth comes from and comes from very quickly when you've got blokes at senior level with pressure on to perform and get their job done and carry out a job. So you might get told one week that you have to go tag or run with a player. You don't go and chase your 25 possessions, because if you do and you don't follow instruction, there'll be someone in the two side with that list. They can't all play in the one side that'll be knocking down the door to take your spot.
I saw him before in the Blues polo, Adam Chera, and he just looks like a player that should be at Carlton. You know how some players, they just suit the polo? He looks like he's been a Carlton player his whole life. And speaking of Carlton, well, that's one Blue in, but one Blue out, Daisy, is Sam Petrescu-Seaton, a former teammate of yours. He's off to West Coast. This was part of a pretty complex three-way trade, but you think this is a bit of a bargain for the Eagles?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just in terms of what he can produce and his very best, is if he can get to that level, I think West Coast's a good fit for him, the way he plays. Obviously, the big ground over there at Optus Stadium, but they're also a kicking team, the West Coast Eagles, and that's his go. He gets the ball, looks to use it by foot at every option, and then link up off the back of that. So he was a pick six back way back when, and the Eagles have given up pick 52 for him. So in terms of the effort and time the Blues have put into developing Sam and where he's gotten to, obviously hasn't met the expectations that they would have liked or reached the levels, but now he seeks an opportunity. And I think at 52, that is an absolute bargain. I can see him slotting into that midfield with some good experience around him, running around there. Obviously, Shuey, Yo, chucking Sheed as well over there. SBS just getting in there, pinch hitting at times and doing his thing.
Of course, he's a WA boy from Halls Creek, a 23-year-old. He burst onto the scene. In his first year, he was the best first-year player at the Blues. This year, there are only the 14 games, Daisy, playing off half-back. Adam Simpson has said that he wants to play him more as a half-forward. Is that where you see him playing his best footy, running half-forward through the mid as well?
Yeah, half-forward mid, and I think if he does play as that half-forward in that West Coast side, they often like to send an extra forward up to the stoppage, up throughout the wings and throughout the forward half of the ground as well. So generally when you do that, your man drops off. So he could potentially find himself in and around the stoppage scrimmage with no one on him. So I think that's a fantastic pick. He'll get himself fit, and I think he could just be one player who gets to it a second club like we see so often and really, really blossoms.
What's he like as a bloke?
He's a ripper, a good kid. He's a cowboy. He's a nickname of cowboy. He actually rode rodeo growing up from a whippersnapper.
Wow.
So he's pretty tough, but he's a ripping kid. He gets it. he gets the what it's required to make it at AFL level in terms of training habits and standards. It just didn't really click for him at the Blues. He got played a little bit everywhere, as you said, started in the forward line, didn't really get time through the midfield, and then was put to halfback to fill some holes late. So I'm really, really optimistic for what he can do over at the West Coast Eagles.
So pick 52, that was on traded to the Western Bulldogs as part of this three-way trade, and Lewis Young has gone from the Bulldogs to the Blues. Do you like that move, Daisy?
Yeah, well, I think it's good insurance for the Blues. Obviously, we saw this year when Liam Jones went down late in the season that there wasn't really anyone there to patch that hole. So, again, there's a little bit of depth added to that backline group in terms of the tools down there. And, again, he may not be the first pick, but it puts a bit more pressure on Liam Jones to continually perform. Also, Jacob Wiedering down there. So I think it's good. It's a good little insurance policy. And for pick 52, well, again, you can't really go too far wrong.
I tell you what, the first time we were speaking this draft week, it was all about one of your teams, Collingwood, and I reckon it's about one of your other teams again today in Carlton, Daisy. But we will press on to Tim O'Brien. He has joined the Dogs as a restricted free agent, of course, the 90, I think, six or seven games it was at Hawthorn. He's a bit of a swing man, and is he just a replacement for Lewis Young?
Yeah, well, I think it's a nice option for what the Bulldogs have been able to do there. The 97 matches over the 8 years. And the swingman, I like it. I think what the Western Bulldogs will be envisaging.
Get it out.
Very tough words to say. I saw you do a live cross this morning, Sarah, so don't be
pick
on me.
Oh, I butchered that one. Please, no one go back and watch that.
But I'm thinking more your James Sicily type. So I think he will predominantly find himself across halfback. When I look at that Bulldogs forward line, Norton, Jamara, who we expect to come on again this year, Josh Bruce, who will miss a large chunk with his knee, but when he's right, Shacky, and of course English, who plays ruck and forward as well. So there's probably not a huge opportunity down there in that forward line when you look for him to go across the halfback line down there with Alex Keith and a couple of the other boys who were in and out of the side. Obviously, Gardner getting dropped later in the season. So I think there's certainly a great spot for him there. And again, someone who could really come on. We saw him take a big hanger on the MCG.
He's
got some good skills. He's got some tricks. It's a lot easier playing across halfback than it is at the forward line.
The mindset of a swingman, it would be hard to go from one end to the other so frequently. Would you prefer it if the Dogs just said to Tim O'Brien, you will play in defence, as opposed to saying we're going to swing you about?
I think they will do that. I think it'll just be a nice option for the Dogs to have if it isn't working, if that forward line becomes a little bit clunky at all. We saw Shacky at times go to halfback when Alex Keith went out. So injury and whatnot, it's nice to have the luxury to be able to move the magnets, give a coach, an opposition coach and coach's box a different look. I would imagine that'd be a sort of 85-15% split to the back line versus the forward line.
You're listening to Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker podcast, thanks to Bosch Power Tools. Now, Will Brody, certainly not the biggest fish this trade period, maybe just a small fish. What's a small fish, Daisy? Are you into fishing? What's a small fish? Maybe a little, a sardine maybe?
Yeah,
a little can of tuna or something.
Yeah.
Now, he is off to Fremantle along with picks 19, 61 and 69. And the Gold Coast Suns, they get a future second and future fourth round pick. Now, this is a kid that in 2016 was pick 9, but he's only played 24 games and only 4 this year. And you'd have to say in a rather underwhelming side, Daisy. So do you think that he just needs a bit of a fresh start at the Dockers?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Obviously, we're not privy to what goes on behind the scenes, but when you put it out there like you just did perfectly, you would think that he would have got a lot more opportunity than he has. So there must be a reason why he hasn't found his way into the side. We know that Fremantle, they have a young emerging list. Obviously, there's now a place for him with Chera going out of that midfield as well. So I think there's certainly opportunity there. And again, a lot of these players who come into the system, especially if you probably made yourself to the Gold Coast Suns, you just probably expect it to happen. There's a subconscious feeling that I'm at a side that isn't so great, so maybe I don't have to cross all the T's and dot all the lowercase J's to get to where I need to do. So we spoke to Joey Montagna. He was on the rush hour as well, and he said that he loves the kid. He's a big rap for him, so okay. Fremantle love him, and obviously he'll be rapped to get across there, and Fremantle done pretty well, it seems, in that trade on face value.
Now, before we wrap up, Daisy, the big news story of the day isn't even a trade story. And as lots of narratives do, it's revolving around Toby Green. So the appeal was heard today and it's been doubled from 3 weeks to 6 weeks. It means that Toby Green is going to miss the first 5 games of next season. Of course, that's for making contact with umpire Matt Stevic. It's a pretty hefty punishment, isn't it, Daisy? It's almost a quarter of the season. And I guess the flow-on question from that is, can the Giants hand him the captaincy?
Well, there's a lot to play out now, isn't there? Obviously, the 3 weeks was a lot easier to swallow than the 6 weeks. I just find this one pretty confusing, to be completely honest with you. I think that Toby Green has certainly become the poster boy of what you can't do in the AFL. Not so much the incident of what he's done, but they've given the look of it. They know it's been talked about. And even the chairman of the appeals board, Murray Callum, said it's a strong deterrent to not only AFL players, but Australian football players around the country. Intentional contact with umpires will not be tolerated. So I feel for Toby because I don't think they're exactly looking at the incident and the incident and the evidence given in this particular example when they're making this decision. Obviously, way back when it was heard just the week one of finals there, Matt Stevic said the behaviour in the moment didn't feel like it was aggressive, demonstrative or disrespectful, which were the three charges put against Toby. That sort of has been taken with a grain of salt and they've just come up with their own narrative. They've given a very harsh punishment, but that's where it lies now. So I don't have any issues with the fact you can't touch an umpire. I'm certainly not saying that. We need to have that stamped out in all codes across the country, but I feel a little bit sorry for Toby Green in the fact that, again, he seems to be the poster boy for this.
So what do the Giants do in terms of the captaincy? Because it looks like it will be potentially taken off Stephen Cornelio, who was struggling to get in the side through form and also injury. And we know that Toby is just such a natural leader. He is so loved at that club. And he's the kind of player that you think if given the captaincy, perhaps he would get these elements of his games perhaps a bit more under control.
Yeah, well, it could be a good time for them to actually give him the responsibility why he isn't out there playing as well. So give him something to look forward to when he does come back. Whether or not Stephen Cornelio wants to continue to be the captain is a question as well. We're obviously, again, not privy to what's happening behind the four walls there. But when Toby was captain of the footy club, he did a fantastic job. He leads from the front. The boys love to play with him. Fans love to watch him go about it. So getting back for round five or round six or whatever round it will be in 2022, it is a chunk of the season. But as we all know, that's not really where the games are won and lost in terms of where they want to get to as a footy club. They didn't have the greatest start to the season this year, but they got it going at the right time. So I don't think this would be the deterrent to categorically say, no, this is why we're not going to give you the captaincy. If anything, it could just be the little bit of spark and incentive he needs to get him through that five-week block when the rest of the players are out there playing.
Daisy, as always, love your work, but that's all we've got time for today on Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker podcast. Thanks to Bosch Power and Tools. This was with Daisy Thomas and Sarah Ollie today. Tune back in tomorrow for all the latest on the trade front.
Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker podcast.
They're both heading in different directions.
Tradies, it's time to cut the cord with the new 18-volt bi-turbo brushless range from Bosch.
Backed by an industry-leading 6-year warranty guarantee.
To keep up with all the AFL trade news, follow Triple M Footy on Facebook and Instagram.